Now I want to share this morning just something the Lord laid on my heart, and I won't be long, I promise. If you can give me, we had Ezekiel 36 just a little while ago. If you can give me chapter 37, Ezekiel 37, please, Gerald. You know, in Ezekiel 37, we read about a valley that was full of dry bones. And every one of these bones, the scripture tells us, was dry. It says in Ezekiel 37, verse 2, it says that he, the Spirit of the Lord, caused me to pass by them all around. Talking about the bones. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. You know, every bone that was in this valley once sustained life. Every bone at one time had some story to tell. Every bone was connected to another bone at some stage and made up a person. Now in this valley that we read about in Ezekiel 37, which was full of bones, dry bones, they were separated from one another. They were dry. They were lifeless. And in actual fact, we could describe them as dead as dead could be. You know, what was once a mighty army, a mighty fighting force, was now just a memory, which had been recorded on the pages of history. I wonder how many times we feel like these dry bones. Now, we were once something, maybe. We were alive. We were doing good. We were enjoying the blessing of God. Yet we, over the process of time, we allow ourselves to become a little dry, a little barren. Maybe we feel like we failed ourselves or failed God. And we may have gone through some really bad experiences, some really hard times. And maybe we're in a situation where we think, actually, there's just no hope. It's beyond any form of hope or life at all. As I touched on, you know, we're living in an age where, in a society where Christian values are being eroded day by day. You know, what was once a morally upright society now has just become a fading memory. You know, as we see abomination after abomination coming on society. You know, our nations, our countries may seem beyond any hope. Just like these dry dead bones in the valley. But we read in verse 11 that these bones once represented the whole house of Israel. And it says in verse 11, it says, then he, again talking about the Spirit of God, he said to me, son of man, he says, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And they indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. You know, is there hope? Have we been completely cut off? Are we gone too far that we can't go back? Because that's what it appeared to Ezekiel in this valley. Because the Lord asks him a question in verse 3. And in verse 3 he asks this question. He says, son of man, he says, can these bones live? Is it possible that they can live? And just look at the way the prophet answers the Spirit of God. He says, we get that question. You know, can these bones live? And the prophet says, God, you know. Only you know, God. Doesn't that sound a familiar answer when we're confronted with this type of question, when we're challenged in our faith, when people ask us, you know, is it possible, can these bones live? We said, well, God knows. You know, God in His sovereignty, He knows. Yes, God does know, but the prophet was being asked the question. He's saying, and the Spirit of God said to him, can these bones live? Now he wasn't looking for an answer saying, well, you know God. He's looking for a faith answer from the prophet. He's looking for an answer that will challenge the faith of the people that are being asked. You know, when people are often confronted with that question, you know, can these bones live? Can you be healed? Can you be saved? Is there any hope for the situation I'm in? Rather than saying, well, God knows. He wants us to rise in faith. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, well, you don't know. Sometimes God will meet the need and sometimes He won't. You know, that's just a cop-out. People say, well, you just never know. Sometimes God will meet the need, sometimes He won't. That's in His plan. No, we have the Word of God. That gives us some insight. You know, that gives us, that builds faith in us when we hear it. You know, can these bones live? Can you receive your touch? Can you receive a financial miracle if you need it? Can your husband be saved? Can your kids be delivered from drugs? Well, no, we don't want the wells. We don't want, well, you know, God knows. Is it possible that you can live in victory? Can your country be revived in the ways of righteousness? Now, these are challenging questions for people. But the right answer here is that yes, there is hope, because we serve a God of all hope. We serve a God of miracles. We serve a God who's able to do, as we've already said today, who can go beyond our expectations, who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. Now, I can think some great things. I have the ability to think big. I was always a big thinker. I used to love writing stories and making them as imaginable as possible. You know, I can think some pretty big things. But I serve a God who can go beyond even what I can think. We all serve a God who can go beyond what we think. You know, can these bones live? Well, here's what the prophet was told. God spoke to the prophet in verse 4. Again, the Spirit of God. So he asked this question in verse 3. He says, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, prophesy to these bones. And say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. You know, God gives us the secret here of seeing life restored to dead bones, dry bones, to situations that we might find ourselves in that we might think are totally beyond any life. Maybe we've been living in a situation for years and years and we just think, actually, there's just no way out of this. There's no hope for me. Well, I've got news for you today. Yes, there is. There can be life. You know, resurrection life can come to those bones. You know, that's what we have, that guarantee. The resurrection of Jesus actually guarantees that for us, that our lives can be changed. Look at us. We were dirty, filthy sinners. But by a miracle of God's grace, He's changed us. He's revived us. What was dead, Paul writes in Ephesians, he says, you who were dead in trespasses and sins, you He has made alive. Now there is hope. If God can save me, then there's hope for any situation that I'm in. If God can save you, there's hope for any situation that you might find yourself in. The secret of seeing life restored is what the prophet heard from the Spirit of God. In verse 4 he says, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now he tells us to prophesy to the bones. Prophesy to the barren situation. Prophesy to your sick body. Prophesy over your husband, your kids, your finances. He said, I'm not a prophet. I haven't got the gift of prophecy. How can I prophesy? Well, you know, you don't actually need to hold the gift of a prophet in order to prophesy. You don't need to be filled with the spiritual gift of prophecy to prophesy. Because prophesy or prophecy is just speaking what God has said. You know, when you read the word of God and you put it on your lips, you put it in your mouth, you're speaking forth the word of God. You're prophesying. And we can speak the word of God over our situations. We can speak God's word to our dead bones. Prophesy to the bones and say to the bones, dry dead situation, hear the word of the Lord. Now you've got to have a scripture which speaks to those bones. But speaking the word of God to the bones, command the bones to hear God's word. You know, here's a statement. If you're making notes, write this down. And just meditate upon this thought. When we speak forth the promises of God, from the word of God, when we put God's word in our mouth, on our lips, you know, those words in our mouth are prophetic. And that means they have to come to pass. You know, God's word never returns to him void. But it is possible it might return to us void. But it never returns to, but if we're speaking, we get this, the inspiration for it comes from God. God speaks to us. He gives us a word. He gives us a scripture. He gives us something for our situation. Start to speak it. Start to proclaim it. Here we see this principle right from the very first page of the Bible. God said, the 15 times, I think it's 15 times in chapter 1, God said, God said, God said. But he's God. But it's the same word. He is the same word. You know, the word was spoken in Genesis 1. And it's the same word that we have today in written form. When God quickens a verse to us and we put it on our lips and we speak it forth, it's as powerful on our lips as it was on the lips of the Father in Genesis 1. Everything God said, he saw. His word came to pass. And when we release God's word on our lips, God causes the breath of life to enter into the situation. Now, you hear a lot of people, you know, why don't we, we get a lot of this in Malta, and you see a lot of it all over the world. Now, why don't we protest against things that are going on? Because what they will say, we should protest. Now we're not called to protest, we're called to profess.
Amen.
Profess, to speak what God has said. You know, because that's what prophesying is, simply repeating what God has already said. Now it goes on in verse 7 in this scripture. It says, so I prophesied, I began to do what I was commanded. It says, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. And indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. And skin began to cover them over. But there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. And then verse 10 finishes off and says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. You know, the impossible happened. These dry bones, these dead bones, these bones that were scattered all over the valley. You know, as the prophet spoke the word of God, the bones somehow managed to hook up. I don't know how it happened. They must have rattled and rolled and got themselves. You know, they found their right connection. The knee was connected perfectly to the leg. The arms were attached at the shoulders. You know, they came together in the right place and they stood up. The breath of God came into these bones. They put on flesh. They put on sinews. They put on muscle. They began to develop. And then he prophesied and they stood on their feet. An exceedingly great army, it says. Now God told Moses to do the same thing. He told him to do something which was outrageous. Something which was beyond any human natural possibilities. He told him to speak to a rock. And he said, out of that rock would come water. And Moses spoke to the rock, and it produced water. Now those of you who are here on Wednesday night will know that I was talking about things not necessarily happening the same way. You know, on a second occasion, God spoke to Moses and told him to speak to the rock, and this time he hit the rock. He hit it. So to speak to the rock. Now who has ever heard of refreshing life-giving water coming out of a rock? But it did. And that wasn't just a principle that happened in the Old Testament. Jesus spoke the word on many occasions. As you know, just reading through the Gospels, you will see Jesus spoke words of, and the breath of life entered people. They were healed, they were delivered, they were set free. Blind eyes were opened, deaf ears were unstopped, the lame walked, the dead came to life. You know, at the tomb of Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days, just one word from Jesus, Lazarus, come forth, and the dead man came back to life. After a fruitless night's work on the sea, fishing, Jesus looked at the disciples in the boat. He asked them, have you caught anything? And they said, no, we haven't caught nothing. We've got nothing. We've been out all night. And he said, go out again. He said, this time, he says, drop your net on the other side of the boat. Telling these fishermen how to fish. Who does he think he is? You know, Peter could have protested. He could have said, forget it. I'm ready for bed. I've been out all night. I've trawled these waters. There's not a fish in that sea. I've spent all night laboring and toiling. But you know what he said? He says, okay, just because you say so, I'll do it. Just because you say so, I will do it. And he went out, he dropped the net on the right side of the boat, and you know what happened? They couldn't. They couldn't contain the amount of fish that they caught. Now we could go on looking at illustration after illustration this morning, seeing that God's word works. But I want to just give you one more. If you can give me Matthew 17, please, Gerald. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17. Now in Matthew 17, now I'm going to take the liberty this morning of and of just being a little, in poetry and in songwriting, they call it poetic license. Just allow me this morning just to be a little free with this text, because I want you to see something. In Matthew 17, verse 14, verse 24, got the wrong reference. Matthew 17 verse 24, when they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" Here they come in with a question, you know. Why don't you, let's say, your teacher doesn't pay the temple tax. Why aren't you paying the taxes? Why aren't you paying you should rightfully pay? And Peter said, well, yes. He said, yes. He said, and when he came into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers?" And Peter said to him, "From strangers." And Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free." "Nevertheless," he said. Now this doesn't mean you're free from paying your tax. So don't go home or don't contact the Inland Revenue Department tomorrow morning and say, "Actually, I'm a son, I'm free." It won't work. You have to pay your tax. He said, "Nevertheless," he said, "lest we offend them." Now look at the instructions he gave to Peter. He says, "I want you to go down to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you've opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you." Now, here Jesus speaks to Peter. He tells him to take his fishing rod, take his hook, go down to the sea, drop it in the sea, and take out the first fish that bites. And he says, "I want you to open the fish, the mouth of the fish, take out the coin that you'll find in the mouth, and go and give that as a payment of our tax." Now the need in this instance was that, yes, Jesus and Peter were due to pay the temple tax. They were supposed to pay their taxes. Now, Jesus could have taken it, he could have called for Judas. He says, "Judas, we need some money from the purse." So it wouldn't have been a lot of money. Take it out, pay our tax. Now he could have done that. But he told Peter to go down to the sea and fish for it. And I believe there's a reason why Jesus told him to go and do that, and that's so he could teach us something. Because where was the money? Where was the answer to their need? Where did Peter find the coin? It was in the mouth of the fish. And as I said, just allow me to be a little bit of poetic license this morning. You know, the answer to our need is here, in our mouths. We put God's word in our mouths. You know, this is what the scripture says in Proverbs. A man's self, moral self, shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth. And with the consequence of his words, he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. And then in Proverbs 18, this is verse 21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it." In the death and life, the choice is up to, it's in our mouths. We have to make the decision to speak it. The word on our lips and in our mouths determines whether or not our dry bones come to life. You know, that's not just an Old Testament thing, because Jesus said the same thing in Mark's Gospel chapter 11 when he was talking about prayer. And he said, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." So can these dry bones live? Yes. Prophesy to them, speak the word of God over them, put God's word on your lips, in your mouth, and they can live again. Now you have to believe it. You can't just, it's not just saying, repeating a scripture. It's got to be, you've got to believe it. You can't doubt. James puts it like that, you know, the man who doubts can't expect to receive anything from the Lord. In James 1. But so you've got to believe it. And that's where our problem lies a lot of the time, because we don't always believe the things we say. And if we put God's word on our lips and we believe it, then we will see results. I say we don't always believe the things we say, because we say some rather crazy things sometimes, and we say, well, we don't mean it. We don't mean it. Because we don't believe it. If we believed it, we wouldn't say it. You don't know, because there are crazy things people say. And they say, well, it's just a manner, it's just a way of, it's just a mannerism, it's an expression. Things like, have you ever been in a situation where you've been so, something has startled you? Those of you that don't like things like little insects. And if you come out, if you go into your kitchen and you see one of these little insects, whether it's on the floor or on the wall, and you're startled by it, and you don't like it, you might say to somebody the next day, oh, you never know what happened, you know, I went into the kitchen and there on the floor or on the wall, there was this, whatever it is, spider, cockroach, whatever, you know. And then you say something stupid like this, you know, that it scared me to death. What a stupid expression. If we really believed what we said, do you know what would happen? So this shouldn't seem a way of thinking. You know, if we believe what we say, we really believe what we say. Now that's going to take time with faith coming as we repeat it. As I think I said last week, we repeat it, we repeat it, we repeat it. Faith will come. You know, ever since Adam, this shouldn't sound strange, but ever since Adam, God was speaking through the prophets. And he's speaking through the priests. He's speaking through those that the Holy Spirit inspired and moved. And he was speaking and he was prophesying that Jesus was coming. The Savior was coming. Messiah was coming. The Christ was coming. You know, look at how many prophets, how many people spoke about the coming of the Lord. You know, then what happened one day, in the fullness of time, at the appointed time, those words, do you know what they did? Just like the dry bones in the valley, they began to put on flesh. They began, the bones began to be covered with flesh, with muscle, with sinew. And Jesus came. John in his gospel records it like this, and it's a scripture you know very well. In John 1 verse 14, it says, "The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You know, prophecy after prophecy was spoken. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. You know, for thousands of years, these were being spoken. Ever since Adam, God was speaking through the prophets. And there came a time, you know, when one young girl, she heard this prophetic utterance, and she grasped it, she believed it. She said, "Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And it happened. that word put on flesh. The bone became, they came together, bone to bone. So let me encourage you this morning and wrap it up. You know, God will cause His Spirit to fashion flesh on your dry bones. He will bring you out of the grave, out of those dead, dry, barren situations. He will bring you into the land that He's promised you, just as we read earlier on. You know, He's going to put a new spirit within you. You will be revived. You will live again. Yes, there is hope for the dry, dead bones. So can these bones live? You better believe they can. And why is this done? So that the Lord, so people will say that the Lord has done it. He has performed it because He is the sovereign I am. Amen. Let's pray, shall we, this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank You and praise You, Lord, for Your word to us. Lord, just pray, Lord, You just write this word into our hearts. Lord, as we've been, we've already mentioned today, Lord, that, Lord, You're going to take out, Lord, that stony heart, Lord, and replace it with a fleshy heart, Lord. Lord, a heart which is soft, a heart which is pliable, a heart on which You can inscribe, Lord, Your word. Lord, we just thank You, Lord, that, Lord, we are, Lord, receptive today, Lord, of, Lord, Your word to us. Lord, just pray, Lord, You just, Lord, continue, Lord, to feed us, Lord, as we consider this, Lord, as we ponder this and meditate upon it today. So, Father, we just thank You. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.